Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the A5 improvement scheme will be delayed again. The Infrastructure Minister at Stormont, Nicola Mallon, says further public consultation will be necessary to ensure the scheme progresses. Sinn Féin have criticised the delay. The SDLP have described it as a necessary evil. There is no indication that blood clot issues, which led to the suspension of the use of AstraZeneca COVID vaccines in a number of countries, were caused by vaccinations. That's according to the European Medicines Agency, which is continuing to review data in relation to the vaccine. 164 people, meanwhile, have tested positive for COVID-19 north of the border. And later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news with Kenny Harkin. Kenny's here at around 5:15. But we begin with confirmation today that the A5 improvement scheme has been delayed again after the Stormont Infrastructure Minister, Nicola Mallon, said further public consultation will be necessary in order to ensure the scheme progresses. Sinn Féin have criticised the delay, but the SDLP say it's a necessary evil to ensure that the scheme does go ahead. It follows publication earlier of the Planning Appeals Commission report into the scheme. With more, here's Greg Hughes.
Minister Nicola Mallon says she has accepted the Commission's key recommendations that further consultation take place on the topics of flood risk and the consideration of alternatives to the proposed scheme. She has now asked officials to prepare a further addendum to the environmental statement for consultation in early autumn. Minister Mallon acknowledges this is likely to lead to the reopening of the public inquiry early next year, but says that, in turn, will allow a decision on the next steps for the scheme. West Tyrone MP Orla Begley has criticised the move, saying that far from progressing the A5, the minister's actions mean new obstacles and delays have been put up to stall its progression. However, MLA Daniel McCrossan, an SDLP colleague of Minister Mallon, says the minister is absolutely committed to the delivery of this project. He says her legal advice makes it clear that if further consultation didn't happen, the scheme is wide open to legal challenge and could be lost forever.
And there are more details, plus a link to the Planning Appeals Commission report, available on our website, highlandradio.com. There is no indication that blood clot issues, which led to the suspension of the use of the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine in a number of countries, were caused by vaccinations. That's according to the European Medicines Agency, which is continuing its review of data in relation to the vaccine. The EMA insists the benefits of the jab outweigh the risk of side effects and will give an update on Thursday. The organisation's executive director, Eimear Cook, is moving to reassure the public over the vaccine safety.
But at present, there is no indication that vaccination has caused these conditions. They have not come up in the clinical trials and they're not listed as known or expected side events with this vaccine. In clinical trials, both the vaccinated people and the people who received the placebo have shown very small numbers of blood clot developments.
North of the border today, 164 more cases of COVID-19 were confirmed, with one additional coronavirus-related death. 176 patients are being treated in hospital for the disease, 18 of them in ICU. Gardaí and Donegal are urging people to stay home and stay safe this St Patrick's Day and not to get involved in any house parties or large gatherings. Despite what they say has been constant and consistent public health advice, Gardaí say they continue to find people gathering in large groups at social occasions and also at house parties, which are illegal. With more, here's Catherine Gaffney.
St Patrick's Day will once again this year not be the day of celebrations and parades that we're used to. Although this is disappointing, Gardaí and Donegal are asking people to continue to adhere to the current level 5 regulations. There will be extra resources deployed across the Donegal division on St Patrick's Day and night, and Gardaí are advising everyone to celebrate the day safely at home. Gardaí and the county are also reminding the public there is a fine in existence for organising a house party and also a fine for attending a house party. They hope that the majority of the public will continue to adhere to the regulations. They're also reminding the public that if you are leaving home, to please stay within your 5 kilometre for exercise, limit your contacts with others, maintain social distancing and regularly wash your hands. Gardaí are also pleading with the public to ensure that any journey you undertake is essential.
Well, serious concern has been raised over what's been described as a surge in COVID-19 cases in South Inishowen. The spike is said to be affecting a younger cohort of people between the ages of 18 and 25. Anecdotal evidence have suggested that people aren't presenting for testing if they're close contacts, and they're not isolating if they've been deemed close contacts. Well, Buncrana GP Dr. Paul Grant says this is an extremely transmissible disease, and he's urging people to go back to basics as a matter of urgency.
What we're seeing is different to maybe 3-6 months ago. If one person is positive, they pass it on to other household members. So we're seeing a large number of contacts proving positive. So it's very, very easy to pick this virus up. And of course, in the next 48 hours with St. Patrick's Day coming, there is that tendency for people to want to meet up and social gatherings and that. And this is really only going to increase the spike further, unfortunately, if this happens. There's an element of fatigue there, I think, and people are interpreting the regulations maybe a little bit to suit themselves or maybe not interpreting them as they're meant to be. And certainly there's anecdotal evidence. I mean, we're not the police or guards or anything like that, but anecdotal evidence that people are either not presenting for testing when they've been close contacts, or if they are close contacts, not isolating as according to the regulations. So the regulations are being interpreted a little bit according to individual taste, you know. So when close contacts are spreading this to other close contacts, and it's very obvious from the results we're getting, it's highly transmissible. So people, you know, they used to say 15-minute contact without a mask and you're a close contact. But, you know, it's really, really very transmissible. So people need to be extremely careful. They need to stick to the basics, Greg, and wear masks, isolate and wash hands. And these are still the basics that are going to keep us, prevent a further surge, which unfortunately is on the cards, given the background level of virus that's out there.
And that was Buncrana-based GP Dr. Paul Grant speaking earlier today to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show. Other news, and Gardaí have renewed an appeal for information about a fatal crash in South Donegal last week. The two-vehicle collision happened at Ballymacgrorty, Ballintra, on Thursday last, March 11th, at approximately 8 a.m. With more detail, here's Michaela Clark.
The male driver of one of the vehicles was removed to Sligo University Hospital with critical injuries, but he later passed away. Gardaí continue to appeal for any witnesses to this collision to come forward. They're also appealing for any road users who may have camera footage, including Dashcam, who were travelling in the area between 7:30 and 8:30 a.m. to make this footage available to Gardaí. Anyone with any information is asked to contact Ballyshannon Garda Station on 071 985 8530, the Garda Confidential line on 1800 666 111 or any Garda Station.
There's a warning that up to 200 post offices could close over the next 18 months unless the government provides financial support before June. A Grant Thornton report has recommended an annual public service obligation of €17 million be put in place for the post office network. The Irish Postmasters Union believes this could come in the form of an annual government retainer payment and says it's willing to provide more services going forward. Its General Secretary Ned O'Hara told the Joint Rockless Committee on Transport and Communications today that urgent action is required.
We need political backbone to make a decision, and we would ask this committee to provide that political backbone. The investment compared to what the money that has gone into the banks is minuscule. There's a return of between 334 and 767, that sorry, 776 million. And if there's no action, the network is going to disappear. It will decline and disappear, and people will wonder what happened there.
There are renewed calls on the government and the HSE to address waiting lists for child and adolescent mental health services. Latest figures show more than 140 children in Donegal were waiting for first assessment earlier this year, some of them for more than a year. Deputy Thomas Pringle believes resources should be made available to ensure waiting lists are reduced. He fears the aftermath of the lockdown will intensify the situation even more.
That's quite shocking, really, when you look at the figures for the number of children and young people that are waiting for first appointments. There's over 25 young people waiting over a year for a first appointment with CAMHS. And really and truly, that is simply a first appointment. And then they have to decide whether they need to do any further work or have any further care. And, you know, I think the whole mental health service has been brought into prospect, I think, with the whole lockdown that's been going ongoing, that because it's going to be a problem when we come out of this lockdown as well, that people will have to be dealt with and have to be treated properly and promptly. And we can't go back to the situation that's been there previously. We need to be improving on the service.
And as you touched on, one can only imagine those waiting lists will grow even more with the aftermath of the lockdown and this past year and the toll that that has taken on children and adolescents.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is going to be the situation. And you know, the government are talking about we need to get back to pre-lockdown levels. Pre-lockdown levels weren't acceptable anyway. And so we need to set our sights a bit higher than that, and we need to be going for an adequate mental health service. And that means the government actually deciding to employ people and make sure that people stay on and work after the lockdown happens, because we're going to have a lot of people to be dealt with and be helped in the meantime.
And that was Deputy Thomas Pringle there. Victims and survivors of mother and baby homes in Northern Ireland who are based in Donegal are being encouraged to come forward to help establish terms of reference for what's being promised as a full independent investigation north of the border. The report into homes published in the new year found a large number of women were sent from Donegal to these institutions. As an example, 24% of all residents in St Mary's Laundry in Derry were in fact from Donegal. Well, Deirdre Mahan is the Director of Women and Children's Services and Executive Director of Social Work with the Western Trust. She's been appointed to a truth, discovery and design team to work with those affected. On today's 9 till noon show, she said the approach being taken in Northern Ireland is somewhat unique.
I understand that this is a fairly unique process. It has never been done before. So following a piece of research carried out by Queen's University and the University of Ulster on the mother and baby's home and Magdalene laundries in the north of Ireland, the Northern Ireland executive decided that there are so many unanswered questions that it needs to go to the next stage. But they decided to do something fairly unique, and that was to allow victims and survivors of these institutions to be front and centre and decide what questions do they want answered in the next stage. So myself and two other people, Professor Phil Scraton from Queen's University and Dr. Maeve O'Rourke from a Centre of Human Rights in NUI Galway, have been asked to lead on a panel to work with victims and survivors for them to decide what the next stage of the investigation should look like, should it, and all options are on the table, and what questions, more importantly, do they want answered through the next stage of the investigation.
And that was Nuna Deirdre Mahan speaking on today's 9 till noon show. Two teenagers are wanted in connection with vehicle damage in the Twin Towns. The incidents happened at a local yard on Thursday and Friday of last week. The yard in question is near the entrance to the Mean Glass Road on Donegal Road. In Ballybuffet, it's used to store second-hand vehicles. When the owner saw and spoke to two youths, it was only afterwards he realised that some of his vehicles had been vandalised. Garda Gráinne Doherty gave more details on today's 9 till noon show.
The owner of the vehicles observed a youth in the yard on Thursday, the 11th of March. This was at about 3 p.m. And this youth was approximately 17 to 18 years of age. He had blonde hair and he was wearing quite casual or tracksuit style clothes. The owner of the vehicles only realised after the youth had left the yard that damage had been caused to some of the vehicles in the yard. Then the following day, Friday, the 12th of March, at 5:30 p.m, the owner again noticed two youths in the yard. One of these youths was the same youth that had been there the day previous. This time he was wearing black tracksuit bottoms, black trainers, a grey and white hoodie, or grey or white hoodie, sorry, and a navy jacket with a blue and white stripe across the front of the jacket. He was accompanied by another youth who was approximately 15 to 16 years old. He had dirty blonde hair, was tall, of slim build, and also wore tracksuit or casual gear. The owner of the vehicle spoke to the youths. The youths left the area, and it was at this stage then that the owner established that quite substantial damage had been caused to a number of vehicles in the yard. The two youths spoke with local accents. They had a bike and some type of scooter with them. We are appealing to anybody who was on that road, the Donegal Road, quite a busy road, you know, a lot of traffic on that road, or on the Mean Glass Road on the 11th of March between 2:30 p.m. and 3:30 p.m. And then again on the 12th of March between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. Anybody again who may have dash cam footage from that area or who observed these youths, we're asking them to contact us in Letterkenny on 074-9167-100 or again the Garda Confidential line on 1-800-666-111.
It's approaching 17 minutes past 5 o'clock. Here's Kenny Harkin with the sports news.
Thanks, Donal. It's opening day at Cheltenham Festival, and it was a big day for Tipperary's Rachel Blackmore. Here's Dennis Kirwan.
Jockey Rachel Blackmore made history today, becoming the first woman to ever ride the winner of a Cheltenham champion hurdle. Henry de Bromhead's brilliant mare, Honeysuckle, powering up the Cheltenham Hill under her to win at odds of 11-10 by 6.5 lengths from Sharjah, with last year's champion hurdler, Epitant, filling the places. The Supreme Novices hurdle was won by the Willie Mullins trained 8-11 favourite, Appreciated. He bolted in by an extraordinary 24 lengths under jockey Paul Townend. Willie Mullins was set for a 1-2, but Blue Lord fell at the last. Bally Adam ended up taking second, with Four Pleasure filling the places. While the Nicky Henderson-trained Shishkin landed the Arkle Chase in equally exhilarating fashion at odds of 9-4 on. He jumped flawlessly under jockey Nico de Boinville to win by 12 lengths from Eldorado Allen. Noel Mead and Sean Flanagan combined for a surprise 80-1 win in the Boodles Juvenile Hurdle with Jeff Kidder, while the bookies also enjoyed the win of 28-1 shot Vintage Clouds in the Ultima Handicap Chase. Black Tears beat odds-on favourite Concertista in the Shadow of the Post to win the Mayor's Hurdle for trainer Denise Foster, who took over the licence from Gordon Elliott. But it was another lady, Rachel Blackmore, who grabbed all the headlines on the opening day at the Cheltenham Festival. Reporting on Cheltenham with Paddy Power, don't feel like a punter, feel like a favourite. I'm Dennis Kirwan.
Well, after today's brilliant win in the champion hurdle, Tipperary's Rachel Blackmore said her win today is a lot to process.
It's just so far removed from anything I ever thought could be possible. So maybe there's a lesson in that for everyone out there. But yeah, it's incredible. You can't do it without getting on the right horses. I've been extremely lucky in that sense and getting, you know, linked up with a yard like Henry de Bromhead. You know, you need to be riding those horses. And yeah, that's a massive part of any jockey's career. You know, being in the right place at the right time and getting linked up with the right yard.
Moving on to rugby, and Peter O'Mahony says CJ Stander's decision to retire came as a shock to the squad. The Munster back row will step away from professional rugby at the end of this season. His final game for Ireland is likely to come in Saturday's Six Nations game with England at the Aviva. O'Mahony said he'll be saying goodbye to a good friend during the summer. Meanwhile, Wales have a fully fit squad as they continue preparations ahead of their chance to win the Grand Slam in rugby union's Six Nations. A victory over France on Saturday will secure the title for Wayne Pivack's team, registering a clean sweep of wins in the tournament. Forwards coach Jonathan Humphreys thinks Alan Wynne-Jones will be vital in controlling the nerves of his teammates.
There's 25 of this squad that have won big in this tournament, and you're led by Al, who sets the tone very, very well about this. You know, there's nobody who's been through this more than he has.
Elsewhere, it's been confirmed that this season's Pro 14 final will be played in the RDS. Leinster, they'll face Munster at the Ballsbridge venue on the 27th of March with a 5 o'clock kickoff time. And Leinster, they'll be back at the RDS the following Friday to take on Toulon in the last 16 of the Heineken Champions Cup. Munster's game with Toulouse will be the following evening at Thomond Park. Welford Road to host Connacht's Challenge Cup last 16 tie with Leicester on Saturday, April the 3rd with an 8 o'clock start. The following evening, Ulster take on Harlequins at the Twickenham Stoop. Moving on to soccer, and Adam Ida has officially been ruled out of this month's World Cup qualifiers with Serbia and Luxembourg. As Norwich manager Daniel Farke says, the striker must see another specialist and possibly face surgery on a hernia problem. Republic of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny, he names a squad on Thursday, and he's already without Aaron Connolly, Darren Randolph, John Egan and James McLean. And Southampton striker Che Adams has been called into the Scottish national team for the first time. The 24-year-old has previously played for England at under 20 level. Adams can switch allegiance due to the heritage of one of his grandparents. And Rangers, they have urged fans to stay away from this weekend's Old Firm derby against Celtic. The club met supporters groups this morning ahead of Sunday's Scottish Premiership clash at Parkhead. A number of people were arrested for breaching coronavirus lockdown rules recently when celebrating Rangers being confirmed as champions. Tonight on the pitch, Manchester City, they hold a 2-0 first leg lead over Borussia Mönchengladbach ahead of their last 16 second leg in the Champions League. That game has been played at the neutral Puskas Arena in Budapest. rest, while at the Bernabeu, Real Madrid, they take a slender 1-0 advantage into their second leg against Atalanta. In the Championship tonight, there's six games down for decision. Cardiff, they play Stoke. Derby, they host Brentford. Luton, they're up against Coventry. Middlesbrough play Preston. Rotherham, they host second place Watford. And Bournemouth, they're up against Swansea. And in the Irish Premiership tonight, there's four games down for decision. Third place Larne, they travel to play Carrick Rangers. Glenavon are up against Glentoran. The leaders Linfield play bottom club Dungannon and Swifts. And Warren Point Town play Ballymena United. Finally for this evening in hockey, the Soft Coast series between Ireland and Great Britain has ended in a tie. The sides drew 1-1 in their third and final meeting this afternoon in Belfast. Roisin Upton was the Irish scorer this afternoon. That's all your sport for this evening. It's back to Donal.
Thank you, Kenny. Well, the pathologist says he didn't do anything illegal or corrupt when he leaked a confidential GP document. Sinn Féin is renewing its calls on Leo Varadkar to resign after he passed the file on to a friend. With more, here's Stephanie Rowan.
This leak happened almost 2 years ago when Leo Varadkar was Taoiseach, but it's still causing problems for the government. Now it's a criminal investigation by the Gardaí, but Leo Varadkar insists he didn't commit a crime. He says the document wasn't a cabinet secret or classified, and he says the Gardaí haven't been in touch with him about it yet.
As of today, no public authority and no public body, and I repeat, public authority or public body, has been in touch with me to tell me what I'm accused of, what crime or law I may have broken, and what evidence they have to support that.
Sinn Féin's Mary Lou MacDonald wants to meet with the Taoiseach about the leak and says Leo Varadkar should resign. She's described what happened as the worst form of crony politics.
In the midst of the whole sorry saga, what we have seen is a gross abuse of power by Leo Varadkar when he was Taoiseach.
A spokesperson for the Taoiseach said Micheál Martin has no intention of responding to Mary Lou MacDonald on this occasion.
And Donegal County Council has confirmed it plans to install traffic lights on four junctions within the 50km speed limit in Letterkenny. They include the soon-to-open junction of Joe Bonner Road and Neil T. Blaney Road and Polestar Roundabout. Responding to questions from Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh this week, officials confirmed that the plan to install the lights is in place, but the rollout won't happen until at least next year on most of the junctions. The Joe Bonner Road junction is due to open shortly, but Councillor Kavanagh is anxious that work proceed on the others as quickly as possible. He says one issue is work on the Polestar Roundabout could be linked with the plan to work on the four-lane project next year.
There is plans for new traffic light systems at the junctions there at Joe Bonner Road, Ballyweyan School, at the Polestar itself, and at Tommy Key's garage at those junctions, and also for additional pedestrian crossing measures around Rosson College. They've also indicated that there is funding identified. The thing now is to get the timeline on this, and again we're restricted at the minute in getting works done. But there seems to be a determination to get that work done.
Now, the council has said that this year they hope to complete that Joe Bonner Road. What they're saying effectively is it'll be at least next year before they do the Polestar in terms of new traffic lights. But given that the four-lane works are due to start in the coming months, if they wait until those works are complete, it could be quite some time.
Yeah, it could be. And there could be logic as well, Donal, in fitting it in with the four-lane work. But as you say, the Joe Bonner Road is, as the council described themselves, 90% complete. There's very little left to do there. That's been a long project that got delayed for a long time, but it's pretty much there now. So it would be nice if this work could go on ahead of that, because I think for traffic flow reasons and that, we need to get this work done as soon as possible at those junctions. But it could well be, I can't argue with you in that, it could well be that it may tie in with the bigger job on the four lane. That's something we'll just have to wait and see and keep in contact with the council about.
Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh there, and you can read the council's full response to Councillor Kavanagh on our website, highlandradio.com. Well, the forecast in brief, it'll be cold and generally cloud-free tonight, staying dry with fog and mist patches developing in largely calm conditions. Some pockets of fog possible in places toward dawn. There's also a risk of a slight frost developing under clear skies with lowest overnight temperatures of -1 to +2 degrees Celsius, light variable breezes. Any lingering fog or mist will clear, leaving a largely dry and bright St. Patrick's Day with good sunny spells. The cloud building through the afternoon with some outbreaks of patchy light rain or drizzle possible in northwestern areas. Highest temperatures tomorrow 10 to 13 degrees Celsius in light northerly or variable breezes. The main story's in brief, and the A5 improvement scheme has been delayed again after the North's infrastructure minister said public consultation will be necessary to ensure it progresses. Sinn Féin have criticised the delay. The SDLP say it's a necessary evil. There's no indication blood clot issues which led to the suspension of the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine in a number of countries were caused by vaccinations. That's according to the European Medicines Agency, which is reviewing data. Gardaí and Donegal are advising people to stay home and stay safe over the St. Patrick's celebrations and to avoid large gatherings or house parties. And Gardaí have renewed an appeal for information over a fatal car crash in South Donegal last week. The two-vehicle collision happened at Ballymacgrorty in Ballintra on Thursday morning last at 8 a.m. We're back with news headlines at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The eviction notices for this Tuesday evening, the 16th of March. The death has taken place of John McDade, Listillian Letterkenny. John's remains are reposing at his late residence, with funeral from there on Thursday morning at 10:15, travelling via the Old Road past Haughey Joinery to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Letterkenny, for 11 o'clock funeral mass, which can be viewed on facebook.com/Irish Martyrs. Interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Oncology Day Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. In compliance with government and HSE guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are strictly private to immediate family only, please. The death has occurred of Bridget Carr, Main Street, Kilcar. Her remains will arrive at her home this evening at 6:30. Removal from there on Thursday morning at 11:30 for funeral mass in St. Carthas Church, Kilcar at 12 noon, followed by interment in Kilcar Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has taken place of Mary Sarah Doherty, née French, Port Hall, Lifford. In accordance with HSE and government restrictions, the house and funeral are private to immediate family only, please. Mary Sarah's Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam on Thursday morning at 11 on clonleyparish.com/webcam. The death has occurred of Michael Hogan, Dewish, Ballybuffet, and formerly of Tubbercurry, County Sligo. Funeral from his home on Thursday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorder, followed by interment in Drumbo Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, directly to the Donegal Hospice, Letterkenny, at idonate.ie. The funeral mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Stranorder. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the house and funeral are strictly private to immediate family only, please. The death has taken place of Kathleen Graham, née Orr, Lenamore, Muff. Due to HSE and government restrictions, the house is strictly private, please, with the funeral restricted to family only. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Foyle Hospice. The death has occurred in London of Martin Connolly, Red John, formerly of Garva, Ahiarn. Martin's Requiem Mass will be celebrated in St. Patrick's Church, Ahiarn, tomorrow at 2 o'clock, with cremation afterwards at Lakeland's Crematorium in County Cavan. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the Ahiarn Parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Ahiarn. Due to government restrictions, the funeral mass and crematorium are private to family only, please. The death has taken place of Jim Deary, Ballybrack, 28 Derry Road, Strabane. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Jim's Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam tomorrow at 10 on churchservices.tv/Lech Patrick. And the death has taken place of Patrick McGee, Drunglore, Quigley's Point. His remains are reposing at his home. Patrick's funeral mass will take place tomorrow at 1 in St. Columbus Church, Drung, Quigley's Point, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The funeral mass can be viewed live on stcolumbusdrung.net.